We're in lesson 46 in the book of Daniel. And as we're looking in the book of Daniel is a prophetic book about ages to come. It don't have nothing to do with what we're doing today as far as when we're looking at Daniel, but we're studying through the book of Daniel in a way that we can understand what Daniel was looking for in this time over here for the nation Israel. Now, we live in the times of the Gentiles. You can't forget about that. The times of the Gentiles started back here in Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar, and it has not stopped, okay? Because Israel is not the, if I can say this without making anybody mad, Israel's not the favorite nation status as they was in times past. Now, we know a lot of religions list them up and make them God's chosen people, but God don't have a chosen people today. He's forming a body of Christ, where there's neither Jew or Gentile down here. But the book of Daniel is referring to this time period over here, this what we call the 70th week of Daniel. And you're in Daniel chapter 8. We left off verse 9 and 10 last week, or last lesson. And it says, "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them." Now, the Antichrist, that's what we're talking about right now. We're trying to identify who he is. So he comes out of one of those divisions as we're looking at. The division that he comes out of is Syria area, the king of the north in chapter 11. Over and over again, the Antichrist in the Bible is never called the king of Egypt. Did they have a king at one time? Yes. Mm-hmm. But it's not. He's never called the king of Greece. And he's never called the king of Asia. But he's repeatedly called the Assyrian. Not Assyrian, Assyrian. Okay? And we're going to look at that, some things. And the passage about the Lord dealing with the nation of Israel. There's a passage that the Lord's dealing with the nation Israel in the tribulation. Hold your finger there and go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. A couple books past you to the left. Your military left. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5 says, "O Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off the nations, not a few." And cut off nations, not a few. Now, this is just like Revelation 17, verse 5. O Syrian, okay? Verse 5 was, O Syrian, you see that? Now, do you know who sends the Antichrist up against Israel? Over here. Who's sending the Antichrist up against Israel?
Satan.
Are you sure?
No.
You just read it. You just read who's going to send him up. So when the Antichrist comes against Israel, he is the rod of God's almighty anger and indignation. You got to remember, what's going to go on in this tribulation period? I'm going to close up this timeline for a second, because this is what you got to see what Daniel's looking at. Daniel's looking at a prophetic timeline. That's what the top line of this is all about. Okay, it's about the nation Israel, the true Israel. Us Gentiles in times past is down here on the bottom. Okay, you could not got up here to Abraham, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob without becoming a proselyte, a Jew, if you will. You had to go do what they had to do. You couldn't just say, "Hey, I'm going to be like Abraham and have faith." They would have marked you and not allowed you to be there. We know even Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You know those verses. But what he's doing over here, what Daniel is seeing over here, is this period over here. Who is the wrath going against in the tribulation period?
God is sending him then.
Yeah, Israel. Israel's got a sin debt against them that has not been paid for. Okay? They rebelled against them over there. I can give you a verse that I stand on that I'm safe from the wrath to come in the dispensation of grace. Okay? That I'm not going to see that. Now, I know a lot of denominational teachings will have you right in that time period. And they scare you every week and every day. You better get right. You don't want to end up over here. But look, he sends the Antichrist against Israel to punish and wreak vengeance upon the nation, to shake out the unbeliever, and to identify godly remnant. Because you got to admit, even in times past, when the Lord Jesus Christ came on this earth, wasn't the nation Israel supposed to identify him, who he was? Yeah. Well, did they? No. The nation Israel?
No.
No, they did not. Okay? But wasn't they a small group of remnant saying, he's the Messiah, let's follow him? Okay? That's what God is doing right here with the Antichrist. He's going to shake up this place. He's going to run out the people, and the godly remnant is going to run. Okay, and we're going to see that in a little bit. So when the Antichrist comes across the land, God says, he is my servant, and I'm sending him. And you were probably thinking, how would God, the Creator, the Bible, would do that to such people? Well, they done it to themselves, if you think about it. God is a just God, guys. He set a standard out there, and he never lowers that standard for any of us. Okay, I don't care who you are. He's not lowering that standard. So you have to come to him and his way and stuff. He is a rod of my anger, and a staff in his hand is my indignation. That's God saying that. Now when you read verses 23 through 25, he's talking about the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ over here. But verse 24 says, therefore, Isaiah 10, okay, stay in Isaiah 10. Isaiah 10, verse 24. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts. See it be G-O-D? Mm-hmm. Who is that?
Jehovah.
The God, the Bible, the Father of hosts. O my people that dwelleth in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. Yet for a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and my anger and their destruction, and the Lord of hosts shall stir up, and what's that word?
Scourge
for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Orbit, and his rod upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. You know what the scourge is? The Antichrist. Okay, he's the scourge. But what is he referring to right here? He's referring to what to happen in Egypt. Remember, what we all know the history of Israel and Egypt, right? They didn't have it pleasant down there. Verse 27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from the off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. He's going to deliver Israel, just like he delivered them across the Red Sea into the wilderness, from the yoke of the Antichrist. God promised Israel that. See, here's what you got to realize in this time period over here. They're going to have God's word, okay? And they're going to look at Hebrews to Revelation, the last books of your Bible, and that age has come, and they're going to identify what people are doing out there. And we'll get that in a little bit. Verse 28. He come to Aeth. He has passed to Migon and Mishmash. He hath laid up his carriages. If you want to see the route of the Antichrist takes against Jerusalem, there it is in verses 28 through 31. If you want to see how he comes down through that path, it's already laid out. And this is a passage about the Antichrist and the assault against Israel. And what is he called there? But what is he called in those passages we just read?
Scourge.
No, when we first started.
Assyrian.
The Assyrian. There you go. He's the Assyrian. Now go to chapter 14 of Isaiah. Chapter 14. You have to identify. Listen, we have some dear friends in the Big Apple, if you know where I'm talking about. And they call it, he calls himself an Assyrian. His daddy was Assyrian. His grandmother's Assyrian. And I have not showed him this passage. You know what I'm talking about? Not Assyria. Not Syria, but Assyrian. And he shared with me in the past that his great-grandfather had found scrolls and stuff in rocks in that area. But to make a long story short, who's the Antichrist is going to be?
An Assyrian.
Yeah. So you got to be careful. I mean, you know, there's ways you can present things. You got to let the Bible say what it says. You know that? Because what people are going to say, that's your opinion.
Your interpretation.
Yeah, their interpretation, and they're going to fight with you. Mm-hmm. Let them fight with God's word, guys. But look, Isaiah 14, this is a passage where the nation Israel is going to speak to the Antichrist. And if you look down to verses 11 to 14, this is a passage about Satan, his fall. We looked at before. And his wise plan to revolt against God. And this is a passage that is direct at the Antichrist, who is Satan at the time, Satan's man, the son of perdition. So all that stuff is how Satan, if you want to know how Lucifer became Satan, it's in Isaiah 14. We already looked at. Go to verse 14, verse 4. Isaiah 14, 4. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the sepulchre of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruleth the nation in anger, is persecuted and none hindered. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thou coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Now this is the proverb Israel throws at the Antichrist. See, they're talking to the Antichrist, and this is what they're going to throw to him. You think he's going to like that? You think any ruler in the world like to tell him you're going down? We're not voting for you. You know, that type of thing. Nobody likes to hear that. Mm-hmm. Notice that it says the whole earth is at what? Rest. You know where it is? We're at this time, not when the new heaven, new earth come. At what time and ages come is the whole world at rest?
When Satan's bound for 1,000.
Millennium kingdom. Okay, millennium kingdom. Now, grant you, the Lord Jesus Christ is still ruling with a rod of iron. Because there's some unruly people in that, and I don't know if you ever thought about that. How in the world Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, is going to sit on the throne of David and rule with the rod of iron when it's supposed to be peace in the valley? Okay? There's people, if you break that law, you're going in the pit. When it's all said and done, he don't rule with the rod and iron. Listen, if you're following Lord Jesus Christ and you got Jesus Christ inside of you and you got a new heavenly body and a earth, you know, a glorified body, are you going to need to be ruled with the iron?
No.
No. So that's something to think about. Do you see that he is called the king of Babylon in that passage? He owns all the territory out there, and Babylon is rebuilt in the tribulation period. That's Zechariah chapter 5. And he rules over by the Antichrist. And that's why you find Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18. You with me? It's just like that back over there. It's going to be over here. And he's the Assyrian. Go to verse 24 of the same chapter. Think about this for a second. Verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break thee what? If you have any doubt who the Antichrist is going to be, these verses right here should tell you it's not Donald J. Trump or Barack Obama, President Obama, sorry, or Bill Clinton. It's none of those people. And it says, Syrian into my land, and upon my mountains tread him upon foot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that purposed upon the whole earth, that this is the hand that is stretched upon all nations. God is going to break that fellow at the battle of Armageddon in the mountains of Israel. He's going to break them. God is. So the thing here, what we're looking at, right quick, is we're identifying the Antichrist in the Bible, and you begin to read passages over and over and over that he's in what?
Assyrian.
So I want you to think about that and keep that in a frame passage of who he is. Now, go back to chapter 8. Let's put this thing together for a second. Daniel chapter 8. Media Persia comes up, follows by Greece. Then Greece is divided in four sections. Greece, Macedonia, Asia, Syria, and Egypt. Asia and Greece, Macedonia are ignored. And there are other two kingdoms, Egypt and Syria, are discussed through the rest of the book of Daniel. And the Antichrist is identified in Daniel chapter 8, verse 9. And he's coming out of one of those four divisions. And Daniel chapter 11 identifies him coming out of the division of Syria. We looked at that. Verse 9 of Daniel chapter 8. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. He spreads out. And the expressing the pleasant land, you know where it's at?
Israel.
Not so much Israel. The land, not the nation. You know where the pleasant land is?
I want to say the Golan Heights.
Well, you're looking at sections. Yeah. You're picking up, but there's a land over there that's going to be pleasant. Very good. Palestine. Do you know Abraham covenant? The land is a Palestine covenant. Okay? You with me? So when you mention Palestine, don't get fixated on that group of people. It's the land. That's why they say they're, you know, if you think about the government structure over, Palestinians think they're on the land and they don't like Israel in the land. But if they go back to the Abrahamic covenant, that God made a covenant with the people with the promise of a land, you know that. What was Abrahamic covenant? Land, a nation. Okay? And then the Davidic covenant. There's the kingdom. That type of thing. It all has to do with that land mass over there. And when he told Abraham, get up and walk, you think he just walked through Stark County? No. He got up and walked that whole area of what God's promised him in that land. It's just not just a little bitty 7-mile stretch what Israel's in it today. It's the whole area there. And the pleasant land is Palestine. Verse 10. And it was waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. You see where it says he waxed great even to the host of heaven? You know who the host of heaven is? Not so much
angels.
Jesus Christ. What is it?
Angels.
Not fallen angels.
The angels.
Angelic angels as a whole. And the host of heaven is the angelic, the heavenly host. And what does it say he does? He is so great that he casts some of the hosts down and some of the stars to the ground and stamped on them. He's not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ doing that. He's talking about Satan up there in the heavenly places right now. That's why it's very, listen, sometimes when we're studying our Bible, and some of us is new to this, and I understand that. I know, I understand it. If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, and if you don't understand from Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 2, listen, verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Perfect. Verse 2, without form and void, earth was formed without form and void, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, the focus is the earth. Primarily through the nation Israel. That's why when people get in their Bible studies and get around denominationalism, it's all about Israel. And you come over to Acts chapter 9 where Paul raises up with another message, dispensation of grace, and he's dispensing what God's doing in the age of grace, not acts of grace. You get all tore all to pieces and you skip right over and go back to Hebrews. I don't know if you ever noticed that. People do that quite a bit. Because they don't understand what God's doing. So just listen, just relax. Just let the words mean what they say and say what they mean. And just say, God, you know, you're the one who wrote the book. Just give me knowledge enough to understand it. And when you rightly divide the word of truth, it makes sense, guys. It makes sense. And so all that focus is on the earth. So what's people going to think Paul's doing? His writings, earth. But you know he's talking about a heavenly places, and he talks about the prince of power of the air, and he talks about three heavens, and all that stuff is just played in to the heaven and earth. Look, when the Antichrist shows up, he is more than just human. You understand that, don't you? If you want a passage, go to Revelation chapter 12. Hold your finger there in Daniel. Let's go over this passage just for a second. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation and Daniel goes hand in hand in the prophetic program. Once again, we're not living in a prophetic program. We're living in a mystery program. Maybe I'll get a chance to share that with you before we end. If not, just call me up. We can talk about it. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there a place found any more in where? Okay. God casts them out of their position of rank and authority in heavenly places. Listen, whether you understand it or not, there's government or structure up there in the heavens. Just like there's a government structure here on earth. Okay? Everything that God created in heaven was a mirror image on earth. The tabernacle. All that. So if he's got a government on this earth that he set up, he's got a government in the heavenlies too. That's pretty powerful for a God. And when Satan corrupted, when Satan blew a fuse, he corrupted that first and second heaven. So that's why we call him the prince of power of the air. But do you know who he puts in those positions of rank and authority when he casts these guys out? Leon's waving his hand. He's going to be there. Do you understand that? When he casts those fallen angels, that corrupt angels that are up there right now, by the way. Now there are some so bad that they've been in a pit and bound from the beginning.
Oh, wow.
Chains of dark, yes. So them are some bad dudes. You watch about rebellions and how these overthrow governments, and then they catch the guy that was the head guy, or what do they usually do to them?
Torture.
They torture them or chain them up for darkness or kill them. But these are some bad dudes. And it's going to be a great event that you know where you're going to be. You're not going to be floating on a cloud, you know, playing a harp. You've seen all those pictures and stuff. You've got a position in the body of Christ today, and you're going to be placed in the heavenly places, and we're going to glorify God forever. It ain't going to be, oh man, I got to get up and do one. Man, I had an easy day tomorrow. I was going to get up and take that load of dog food up to the yard, okay? And I was going to drop that trailer, and I was going to sit and do a first quarter training, and then I was going to go over and grab another little trailer and take it back to the yard, and then my tractor's in Columbus getting a B service, so I got a spare truck, and I'm going to go down to Columbus and take my, and I'm going to have an easy day. 5-6 hours. I get a text last night, say such and such trucks, you know, won't be ready to Monday. Can you do his run?
New York City.
No, it's actually down by the house. It's 400 some miles, 6 stops. I'm going, to God be the glory, right?
Amen.
You know, and I waited for a while before I texted my boss back. But I said, if that's what you need me to do. She said that would be helpful. But what I'm getting at it, I'm not going to get to a position in heavenlies and say, oh, gosh, do I have to replace Dan today? He didn't show up again. You know what I mean? He's left. Who knows? There's no darkness, so there's light. We're going to be glorified. But whatever we're doing, we're going to glorify God.
Amen.
You with me? We're not going to have this mindset of, you know, he's getting 3 more grapes than me. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to have that sinful mind.
Right.
So we have the mind of Christ today that we don't have to think that way towards each other.
Amen.
Praise God, hallelujah. So out there, out they go, and then you and I go, and the day of Christ begins to take over up here. You heard about the day of Christ and all that stuff. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Got a lot to go right here. Just bear with me. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. Now, where's Satan at?
In heavenly. He's in the first and second heaven.
But he says what? He deceived the whole world. Now, how in the world can he be deceiving the whole world if he's up there too?
Spirit. His angels.
The beast.
He's the God of this world and the principality. You with me?
He's the spirit.
He's spirit that works that's in children of disobedience. So he can do. Don't that sound like a God?
He's close.
He's close. He says he was cast out. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God not day and night. He's up there accusing you guys day and night.
Just like in Job.
Just like in Job. Can you imagine somebody been in your boss's ear day and night? That guy ain't worth a dime. That guy ain't pulling his weight. You know, I've got to beat my flesh down sometime. You know, there's some drivers out there that I don't, you know, I like them as a driver, but sometimes they're not pulling their weight. Hey, you do not, you know, it'd be easy to pick up that phone. And so you guess what I got to do? I can only pull one trailer, one load at a time. That's all I'm responsible for. Look. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. That's a good one, ain't it?
Yeah.
Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You think he knows that now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But what's he doing? It's a lie.
Deceiving as many people.
Yeah, that book's a lie. You got to read this book. Hey, you're a God. You got more power than that. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now, who's that woman, according to what everybody tells?
Israel.
So that's what this part over here is going about. Verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. Over here. Remember what we said, times and times and a half a time? What is that?
3.5 years.
So you had 3.5 years before and 3 years after. And just like when God put them in the wilderness in Egypt, he nourished them, fed them. They're going to run into wilderness again. And just like we read back over in chapter 24 of Matthew, verses 15 and 16. And what are they supposed to do? Remember? What is Israel supposed to do when all this stuff's taking place?
Run to the wilderness.
Yeah.
Go downtown Jerusalem, belly up with all of them.
Flee.
Mm-hmm. Get out of town. And these people will go out to the deserted places, to the rocks and hills and wilderness areas of South Jerusalem and Dead Sea, and God's going to feed them for 3.5 years. Listen, when John the Baptist came on the scene, guys, don't ever forget this. We talked about this earlier. There was 400 years of silence from Malachi to Matthew. God did not speak. They had words. He spoke through his word. But if you look at all them other books that supposedly was written, Enoch and Maccabees and all, that was written during this time. But God didn't speak it. Now, there's probably some wonderful reading. You know with me?
Yeah.
So,
I was reading about that. It's the Apocrypha.
So it's not God inspired.
No.
So Matthew comes.
No.
So but if God was speaking, then it would be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So 400 years of silence, God didn't speak. Here comes a guy dressed in wool or what fur, mm-hmm. eating locusts and honey, speaking Isaiah,
yeah.
talking to Isaiah the prophet, and he's warning them to flee from the wrath to come, and he's outside of Jerusalem and Jordan River, right there where Joshua came across. That's where he baptizes them. So he's not down there bellying up with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all them seas. He's not. So when this guy comes down and they got the word, remember what we said? God's going to use Antichrist to come down there to shake out the unbelievers. So the godly believers are going to see that, and what are they supposed to do?
Flee.
Verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, and that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. God's going to help them. God's going to open up the earth and do away with that flood.
That'll be the little flock.
And what are you reading here is a contemporary of Daniel chapter 8, verses 10 to 12. And in Daniel chapter, go back to Daniel chapter 8, verse 10. When he says he cast down some of the hosts of the stars and some of to the ground and stamped on them, this is what he's talking about. And the host that he's cast down is Israel. And he casts the stars down. He comes down from heaven and brings a third of the angels or stars with him. And he goes out to persecute the people. He hates Israel. Well, I shouldn't say he hates Israel. He hates the believing remnant. There's people dislike you today because you believe in Jesus Christ and that he died and buried and rose again. People dislike you today because you're studying your Bible rightly divided. They don't mind. You ever notice that? People was your friends until you started talking about right division? And they're like, whoa, cult? They use that word cult. You know, we was talking about that a couple weeks ago. Listen, cult is a modern word. C-U-L-T. You ain't going to find that in the Webster 1828 American Dictionary. And cult means a system of religious worship. A system of religion. You know what that is? That's any denomination out there. Yeah. You can say, all cult is demons, devil worship. Now, you know you don't do that. But when people throw that word at me, I just look at them and say, what church you go to? What denomination you go to? Methodist? System of religious worship. You can go down the list. Verse 11. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of hosts, and by him the daily sacrifices was taken away, and a place of the sanctuary was cast down. He makes out like he's the king of Israel, like he's their what? Messiah. Verse 12. And host was given him daily, the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and he practiced and prospered. Now, they go out and make war against the nation of Israel. That's who the Antichrist was. So you know who the Assyrian is. Now, what we're going to do now for a few minutes... we're going to switch his career, or switch to his career. And the Antichrist has a career. He's not a special commodities relocation engineer.
He's a truck driver?
He's not a truck driver. But he does merchandise. Okay? He's going to supply. But he is in two parts. And it's very important that you understand how his career and the activity goes. And his career is a supernatural being. And the 70th week of Daniel in chapter 9, which we'll see later, is divided into two sections. The 3.5 years period on one side of the middle week, and what?
3.5 on the other.
And each week has 1,260 days, a total of 7 years. And the middle week is very important. And Antichrist is described by two names. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We've looked at this over and over and over, but we just can't get away from it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. verse 3. Verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, comma, and the man of sin be revealed, comma, the son of perdition. He is called the man of sin, comma, the son of perdition. And the Antichrist identified by two names there. He's a man of sin in the first part of the week. And then he's son of perdition in the latter part of the week. And the casting out of Satan from heaven takes place right in the midst of that week. So it's a midweek situation. Hump day Wednesday, that type of thing. Can't wait till Wednesday happens. You know, Wednesday can be either good or bad. You know, you had a bad part of the week, or you're going to have a bad part of the rest of the week. That type of thing. It takes place in the middle of the 7th week period. And the Antichrist has a supernatural element associated with him in the latter half of the week. In the first half, he's like a man. He's the king of Assyria, by the way. He's a man. And he is a man of sin. Just like me and you. Man of sin, if you think about it. But he's under the influence of Satan. Now, you're not under the influence of Satan. Now, our spouses might think so sometimes. Just joking. But I'm pointing at my wife, by the way. She's influence of Satan. I'm just saying, look, he is a man whose heart is lifted up, and in the middle of that week, something happens to that man that causes him to change from man with a career to be the Antichrist to the man who does what verse 4 says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called what?
God.
Little G or big G?
Big G.
Or that is worship, so that he is God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is
God.
That second half, when something happens to him that influences him, that he's going in that temple. Well, in the middle week, the Antichrist changes characters. Now, you probably won't ever think you could do that. We have two natures. And look, change of character. He goes in, he sits on the mercy seat. Who's the only one of the God of the Bible that you know can sit on the mercy
Christ,
seat?
Jehovah God.
God Almighty. And that's his position.
Wow.
And he goes in and he sits on the holies of holies in Jerusalem and says, I'm God. You know what's strange about that is? Or people in that ages to come over here are going to say he is God.
He'll do mighty miracles.
He's going to deceive. That's what Thessalonians said. Paul says, there's no need for me to write to these things. He's going to deceive people. And we're taking out of here. And we talked about that little gap right there. Whatever time period it's going to be, it's going to take some time. And God's going to send them a strong delusion that they're going to believe a what?
A lie.
A lie. What lie is that? Who's the lie?
Satan.
Satan. Yeah. They're going to believe that. And Psalms 80 says, God Almighty dwelleth between the cherubims. He goes in. He sits between the cherubim, one hand on one, on the other, and proclaims himself as God. He is a lie. He is a lie that... But Romans chapter 1. Let's see if we can pull that up right quick. Romans chapter 1. Yeah. Romans chapter 1 right quick. You want to know why people are the way they are today? Right here in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's look at this right quick. Verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in what?
Unrighteousness.
So the wrath of God is already revealed. If you want to hold the truth in unrighteousness, it's been revealed what's going to happen to you. You don't have to speculate. Oh, well, I'm wondering what God's going to do with me today. It's done. The wrath of God has done been revealed. Because that which be known, which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed it to them. Where is it manifested in you? Where is it manifested in them? In conscience, heart. Everybody has a God-centered conscience out there. You may not think they do, but they do. Their spirit's cut off and dead. But their conscience can identify who God is, and it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are what?
Clearly seen.
The invisible things. Being understands that the things that are what? Made. Trees, rocks, clouds, stars are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without
excuse.
There's no such thing as atheists. With that verse right there. They may call themselves that. But that verse right there just tells me I can clearly see that tree and God has made manifest that I'm without excuse. You read on down through there. It says, because that when they knew God, and they did, they glorified him not what? As God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be what?
Wise.
Wise.
Do you know any professors out there?
Oh, yeah.
This is where this word comes from. Professing themselves to be wise. I know more than God knows. We talked about this time and time ago, again. The greatest scientific book that ever was written is the book of Job. And God asked Job, where was you when I did this, this, this? Job couldn't... Yeah, he was like, you know what I mean? So they're professing themselves to be wise, and look, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God. Now, is God the creator uncorruptible?
Yes.
That should be another. He is uncorruptible. Change it to image made like the corruptible man. You see what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Made me look corruptible. The Antichrist is corruptible. And to birds. You know any religions out there worship birds?
Pantheism.
And four-footed beast.
Mm-hmm.
And what?
Creepy crawly.
They took God the creator of the heaven and earth, God of the Bible, and made him a corruptible man, made him a bird, made him a donkey, and made him a what? A bug, to where they finally just go, you're God. See what they did?
Mm-hmm.
See what we did? Many of us was that way. I don't want to make you, you know, point fingers at you or something. That's why I'm going like this.
But your flesh is capable.
But look, where, what's it say? Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Here's where I'm going to get to. Who changed the truth of God into what?
A lie.
That's Genesis 11 verses 1 through 9. And worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed, what? Forever, amen. For this cause. What cause, guys?
That they changed the corruptible God into
lack of glorifying God.
No, keep going. Keep thinking about it.
They changed the truth of God into a lie.
For this cause. The truth of God into a lie. God gave them up to their into the vile affections. For even their woman did change their natural use of unto that which is nature. And you go on down through there if you want to. And God gave them up to God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over. There's three God gave them up right there. You ever notice there's always three? Going to the Gentiles. Going, going, gone. God gets up from the mercy seat in the Old Testament. He leaves them. He goes to the door. Going, going. And he's out in the field. Gone. Politically, Israel's no longer that nation. But that's that definition there. And notice one more thing right quick. Where are you at? Revelation?
You still
Romans.
Romans
1:26.
Well, that might be a good place to stop. Because next week, we'll notice the expression, the son of perdition. And you'll see it in Revelations chapter 12 and 13. But any questions or comments? I didn't want to scare you today. But it's serious business over there. It's serious business today, guys, that when we take a truth of God's word and turn it into lie to make us do what we want to do. And you got to remember, in the garden, that's where it started. God the creator, Satan, Lucifer, Satan, the serpent, convinced, deceived Eve, and Adam made that choice, and he put that human viewpoint in their minds. And that's always been a problem. It's always seemed like there's two people against God, one. And God says, okay, if that's what you want to believe, see, this is one thing you got to remember. God allows us to make our own choices. He really does. He never violates. He never did violate Adam's free will. You ever notice that? Dan?
I was just going to say, if I look at it, I see, you talk about the serpent.